Your business is an asset that can support a thriving life. I believe this, and I am committed to making this a reality for every entrepreneur and business owner who listens to this podcast. The Women Thriving in Business podcast was created with you in mind. Whether you are thinking about entrepreneurship or you're a business veteran, this podcast has inspiration, information, and advice you can use to thrive in business. Women Thriving in Business features candid, unscripted conversations with entrepreneurs, business experts, authors, and academics who will contribute to your business success. I seek out and talk with business leaders who have built, grown, and thrived in business. My name is Nikki Rogers, transformation coach, author, and the host of Women Thriving in Business podcast. I work with women entrepreneurs to develop the mindset, strategies, and connections necessary to thrive in business. Join me and your fellow thrivers each week on this journey of discovery and success.
Hello, thrivers. My guest this week is retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Carla Bass, who is the founder of Right to Influence. So during our discussion today, Carla and I talked about why writing is so important to entrepreneurs and business owners, and why it is indeed a superpower that you need to leverage in order to be successful in business. We talked a lot about what it means to be a great writer. Carla shared with me her word sculpting tools that relate to not being a word hog, and also thinking about how you package and deliver your message within the concept of a boiled egg, meaning you need to peel back the layers of fluff and get right down to the yolk, and that's the important part of your message. So Carla and I had a really great time talking today, and one of the key insights that she shared was this idea of thinking of when you sit down to write and you have a blank space, and you know you have the constraints of both space and the audience's time. Well, think about that blank space that you have to write as your opportunity to influence the audience that you're trying to reach. And when you think about it like that, then writing doesn't seem so daunting. So getting to the bio of Colonel Carla Bass. So Colonel Carla Bass authored the multi-award-winning book Right to Influence, which is now in its second edition. Writing powerfully was central to her success throughout her 45-year career in the Air Force and with the federal government. During that time, she has composed products for Congress, the White House, military generals, and ambassadors, in addition to writing hundreds of performance reviews, awards nominations, and budget justifications. As a squadron commander, Carla transformed her 480-person unit from the most losing in statewide professional awards into one to beat. This is where she developed her writing methodology and taught her troops to write. This made her so successful that she went on to teach thousands of Air Force members over the next 15 years. Her key messages are that powerful writing changes lives and that powerful writing is the lifeblood of effective organizations. So listen in to my discussion with Colonel Carla Bass. Let's go.
Welcome, thrivers, to this episode of Women Thriving in Business podcast. I'm so excited to have with me retired U.S. Colonel Carla Bass, who is the CEO of Right to Influence. So welcome, Carla.
Thank you. Delighted to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, definitely. So Carla, let's just get right into it. Tell us about your company and then what it's inspired you to actually get into business for yourself.
Sure. My company is a person of one. This is my own individual calling. And as far as the genesis, when I was a lieutenant colonel, I assumed command of a squadron in Hawaii with 480 super talented young men and women But when I arrived, it was the most losing unit in statewide professional awards. What was happening is really deserving men and women weren't being recognized, not because they didn't deserve it, but because their bosses didn't know how to write winning packages. So you could be the best tech sergeant or the most brilliant captain, but because your boss can't tell your story, you're not getting the recognition. So seeing how that was harming people's careers, I developed my writing methodology, transformed that into a little tiny workbook, turned that into a one-hour workshop, and taught my guys to write. And in scant time, we became the unit to beat. Then the other units came and said, hey, could you teach us too? My first thought was, well, darn, there goes the competitive edge. But, you know, of course I did it. But I ended up teaching that for the next 15 years to thousands of Air Force people. I had no idea how vacuous that need was. I was only focused on taking care of my own 480. But that's where I realized that powerful writing changes lives, because it does. And I still get testimonials. Colonel Bass, if it hadn't been for, I wouldn't have been able to. And that's what propels me to do this.
Great. So tell us about what you actually provide in your business. So you talked about when you were in the Air Force that you provided these workshops and workbooks. What do you now do for clients since you've actually started your business?
Right. I provide workshops or webinars. They range in length from 5 minutes. You know, when you're on a live television interview, which I've done several now, is tell me everything you can in 5 minutes. But all the way to 2 full days. I have one corporate client, and based on their materials, I've developed a 2-day business writing course that pre-COVID I gave to their staffs in Chicago and New York City. I did that for 3 years running. Then the U.S. Geological Survey in the Department of Interior asked if I could develop a full-day writing course for them, again, based on their materials, which of course I did. So what I teach is I teach you how to banish bureaucratic blather, how to explain your case with focused precision, and that applies to budget justifications for lobbying for additional resources to start a new program, input to your own performance review. You know, that's something that people just abhor. Any product where you need to persuade the reader that your point is valid, you know, hire me, pick me, support my project, join my cause. That's what I teach people how to do.
Great. I love that. You know, over the time that you've been in business, what are some of the, you know, maybe the challenges that you face either in just operating your business or in working with your clients?
Well, COVID set me back a lot. I had just a whole series of in-person workshops. And I love that. I mean, I'm kind of a theatrical person, so I thrive on real people interaction. So that set me backwards. So I had to learn how to do the, you know, good things and the silver lining and so forth. I learned how to do the webinars and work more digitally. Fauquier County offered a grant for small businesses that had been harmed by the disease. So I applied for it and I won a $7,500 grant that paid for a complete overhaul of my marketing approach. I completely revamped the website and then I took a $5,000 marketing course so that I could get better at doing what I'm doing. So it kind of forced a learning curve. One thing I tell authors is that the easy part is writing the book. Okay. It's like running a restaurant or a bed and breakfast, or you know, you have a balloon, not a helium balloon, but a regular puff it up balloon, and you have to keep tipping up with your fingertips. Otherwise, it goes dormant. So doing the podcasts, and thank you for this opportunity, and anywhere that you can reach people, you know, you have to be out there and aggressively do it.
I love that. I love how you took what could have been a devastating setback and actually kind of took action in order to move forward and learn some new things.
I could not do that. Again, to use a double negative, God gave me a gift. I give credit to where credit's due. It's a gift and I have to share it. And because of all those testimonials, when I retired, you know, I spent 5 years kind of toying with the idea of writing a book. And I finally said, okay, Carly, you got two choices. You either do it or you flush this. Just expunge it. I could not expunge it because I had so much proof positive that what I have helps people. And that's what finally got me off the mark.
That's great. You know, I talk about connecting to your vision and that you should have a vision that makes you want to leap out of bed in the morning. And that sounds like what you've discovered. Like this
is. You know, Oprah Winfrey calls it heart songs. I heard her talking to a young group of kids about their heart songs. Well, I've been blessed with two heart songs. My first one was the Air Force. I chose in seventh grade to join Air Force Intelligence specifically. And then it just happened that powerful writing in my Air Force career coalesced. At the very first day, one of my first assignments as a lieutenant was writing and giving daily briefings to the director of the National Security Agency. So I learned from the earliest days how to make every single word count and each second of the audience's time play to your advantage. And that's the premise of Right to Influence. And I explain, I'm a visual person. So if you can imagine a white rectangle, okay, white rectangle, that conveys the principle that every author or speaker is constrained by two things. You're constrained by the audience's time, you know, tick, tick, I'm busy, what do you want? And you're constrained by the available space, whether it's a demarcated area on a government form or the above the fold area on a web page, or a requirement to summarize your grant in 250 words. So now go back to my little white rectangle and impose on that the big black word opportunity. And the lesson is the author who best leverages the reader's time and the available space wins. And that's what I teach you how to do. I teach people how to, one, strategize the message, and two, get rid of the redundancies, the useless words, the words that hog space. Those are what I call word sculpting tools. And then one more image for you. I explain all of this in the concept of an inverted triangle. So at the top part of the triangle is where you strategize your message. So the first part of Right to Influence tells you how to strategize your message. There's several things you have to do to strategize it. And when you get down to the bottom of that inverted triangle, this is where part two of the book comes in. It's called the word sculpting tools. And that's where you go sentence by sentence and you apply the word sculpting tools and you get rid of all that fluff. Now you've got two things. You've got a hard-hitting product and you've just bought yourself more space. Remember, space is opportunity to keep making your case. And that, in a nutshell, is my methodology. But I teach it in such a fun way. I talk about Mary Poppins and hard-boiled eggs and hogs in a bed, don't hog space. What else? Poker, scavenger hunts. So I teach this, and if this is not your mama's grammar book, this is a fun way of learning how to rethink about writing.
I love it. So talk to us about the difference. You talked about these word sculpting tools. So I'm curious about, you know, hogs versus hard-boiled eggs. And how does that figure into the
word sculpting? Let me introduce you to the word sculptor first. Okay. Poof, you are now a sculptor and you're sitting in your sun-drenched studio in Paris. You've got your little beret and the hammer and chisel, and you're facing an 8-foot block of marble because you're a master sculptor. You know the image that's dormant in that marble. So hammer, hammer, chisel, chisel, rubble, rubble. There's your statue. Word sculpting does the same thing, except in lieu of that block of marble, you have your first draft. And so you apply the 10 word sculpting tools sentence by sentence, and you shed all of that rubble. Now, we'll talk about hard-boiled eggs. One of my word sculpting tools I call verbs are your friends. Rely on them. And I explain this. Imagine a hard-boiled egg. Got it? Now make that hard-boiled egg 6 foot tall. Big hard-boiled egg. Focus on the yolk. The yolk is the verb. All of the white stuff is called albumen. I've got to learn how to pronounce that word. I can spell it. Anyway, those are the words that we use nowadays that suffocate the verbs. So for example, pose threats is threaten. Puts at a disadvantage is disadvantages. Serve as a liaison is liaise. Provide protection is protect. So you see how we've gotten really bureaucratic blathery. Instead of just cutting to the verb itself, We have to encase it in all of this extraneous verbiage. So that's the hard-boiled egg concept. Now, the hog space, there are three ways to hog space. I'll just talk about one of them. The concept is go from saying using several words to using one or two. Example, at the same time is simultaneous. It's easier for the brain to grab one word than it is to grab many. And remember, the whole thing you're trying to do is to generate a product that's easy for the reader to digest. Say more hog space on a daily basis. We hear that all the time. You never have to say on a blank basis. It's daily or weekly or nationally, but you never have to say on a blank basis. And remembering my white rectangle, every time you use words that hog space or a hard-boiled egg instead of the verb, you're using up that valuable space. You're throwing it away and you're throwing away opportunity. Up to date is current. On at least one occasion is at least once. In the aftermath is after. Okay, so that's how you avoid words that hog space.
I love those examples and that image of the boiled egg and just peeling back the layers and letting the bird actually be.
You're freeing up. You're emancipating that poor old verb that's been shackled with all of this because people don't know how to write like this any longer.
Great. Those are great images, and I'll have those in mind going forward as I think about writing. You know, what is one of the greatest accomplishments? You talked about folks writing and telling you that your work really helped them become better writers. When you think about your time in business, what would you say is one of your greatest accomplishments that you're most proud of?
Some of the testimonials. So there are two that, and these are unsolicited testimonials. In each case, it opens up with, "Colonel Bass, you probably don't remember me, but," and in truth, I've taught so many people for so many years, I really didn't remember them. But what they told me, I mean, it just continues to inspire me. So person one said, they both were in my unit, you know, way back when I first invented this. So the one person said, "I have just made GS-15 at the age of 36, which is a tremendous accomplishment. Basically, your teaching me how to write has facilitated my successful career in the federal government. And throughout my career, I've been teaching others. I've been mentoring others with your writing methodology." So that's one. And the other was, "Colonel Bass, you probably don't remember me, but I kept that little handbook for 18 years. Because you taught me how to write, I was able to be accepted into officer's training school. I just retired after 20 years as an officer, and I'm now the vice president of a defense corporation because you taught me how to write." That's just, that raises goosebumps. And so, and I get those types of testimonials all the time. And that's why I have to keep going.
Wonderful accolades. And it's great that not only they achieved those things, but they also remember it and thought enough of you to write back and say,
I am so grateful. So there's a lesson there. And if your viewers are grateful to somebody else, stop the world and let them know. So here's one more. And this is something that people don't often think about. But I tell folks, you know, it's one thing, and it's laudatory to be able to submit your subordinates for awards. Good on you. That's a sign of good leadership. But if you have a great relationship with your boss and you have the fodder to support it, consider recommending yourself for an award to the boss because he's busy, he or she's busy. So again, it's presuming you've got this good mojo going, but you approach the person and say, "There is an award coming up. Would it be okay with you if I wrote a nomination for myself for your consideration?" People, it doesn't occur to them to do that. So I suggested it to one woman. She'd asked me to help her with the resume. Well, the resume was friggin' awesome. It needed a lot of work, but she had certainly been racking up the accomplishments. I suggested that to her. She executed it, and she was her agency's supervisor of the year as a result. So it's so gratifying to be able to empower people to improve their own lives by teaching them how to write.
Great. Now, most of my listeners are entrepreneurs. So can you talk a bit about, you know, so some folks may be listening like, that's great. Yes, it would be lovely to help write up an award for myself. And when you think about entrepreneurs, can you talk a little bit about why it's so important for entrepreneurs to be able to write well?
Sure. And thank you for redirecting that just a little bit. Entrepreneurs are out there. Their babies are their businesses. It's not their subordinates necessarily. It's their businesses. So the same thing applies. There are so many awards out there, county, state, national, that if you are able to write like this, you can submit your business for these awards. You can submit your business for the grants like I did. This kind of writing also applies to knowing your customers. So whether you're trying to compose persuasive marketing products or whether you're trying to compete for contracts, there's all sorts of applications from an entrepreneurial perspective.
Great. Thank you. I think it gets lost, right? So I think a lot of entrepreneurs think that's the marketing team's or marketing consultant's job or the copywriter's job. But I think you're really bringing that home.
The copywriter is only as good as the material that you provide them.
Okay.
And nobody knows about your business more. Nobody cares about your business more than you. All right. So there's actually a parallel between your boss says, hey, give me input for your annual performance review. You assume, because this is unfortunately generally the case, that the boss can't write. So you learn how to write yourself so that what you give him is just spot on and it's eye-watering. It's the same thing in providing material to the copywriters. All right. Mm-hmm. If you, being the entrepreneur, learn how to write like this, you're the one that drives the potency of the material, of the fodder, of the detail that you give to the copywriters. You can't completely abrogate that and trust on somebody else. Now, let me talk. We talked the top part of that, the triangle a little bit. One of my strategies, and this applies, definitely it all applies to entrepreneurs, but one of the strategies and a mistake that people often in writing any of these products is, one, they fail to include the impact of what they've done. So that there's one strategy, hit the impact. Second strategy is convey it using detail, because detail provides the reader a mental yardstick. They can understand what you're saying if you provide the detail, the statistics, if you ground it for them. But the third one, and this is one that's very subtle. People tend to think sequentially. They think chronologically. And they mistakenly emphasize the how over the what. Now, I'll give you an example. This is based on a resume bullet, but this applies to anything that you're trying to write. So the first step of this resume bullet, and we'll watch it transform applying those strategies. The opening volley was developed a marketing strategy that the division chief implemented. All right, so it starts off with a good verb and the dude implemented it, so you think that's good. But then you say, developed a marketing strategy that increased sales by 30% this quarter alone. All right, so now you've got the how and then you get to the what. So it's still backwards. Then you flip it. So this is where the important part of that sentence is what the result was, not how you achieved it. So the final bullet is, catapulted sales by 30% this quarter alone, okay, boom, boom, with an innovative marketing strategy she developed that's now emulated throughout the company.
Yes. Okay. Much more impactful.
Yep. So what you see there is you've got the detail with the 30%. Another one of my strategies, I call it subliminal words. That's the word alone, 30% this quarter, also being a detail, you know, put it in context. Alone is a subliminal word. But most importantly, we put the horse in front of the cart, the horse being catapulted sales. So whenever you're trying to market yourself or compete for a contract, when you're trying to explain what your accomplishments have been and why you deserve this opportunity, don't explain how you did it, explain what you did, and then explain how. Because you have to remember, you know, tick, 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 I'm busy. You don't want to lose the reader before you get the key point across. And that happens to be another one of my strategies, which is the gold nugget. Don't bury the gold nugget. You know, you got to get that thing up first. Because if you've only got 15 seconds, how are you going to use them?
Right. I'm loving these nuggets. First of all, thinking of that space as opportunity, that just changes my whole perspective around when you get that box and you have to write something, right?
Okay, let's talk about useless words. Useless words is my number one word sculpting tool, and I put it there because it is the most important of all of them. So useless words, provide with 100% of the time. You never have to say with. I provide you an opportunity. You provide me a chance to speak to your listening audience. The facility here provided me a room. It takes a direct object. So every time you say provide with, you have wasted space, W-I-T-H space. So when you are space constrained and every word matters, you've just thrown away a little bit of that opportunity with the word provide with.
Mm-hmm.
There are. If you look hard at a sentence that starts with there is, there are, you can find a good subject and a good verb hiding in there. Okay. So that's the concept of useless words. But, you know, you whittle, and that's how you get the hard-hitting products that's really going to be compelling. And the reader says, oh, yes, you're so good. You're so right. You win.
I love this concept because instead of shortening, so there's often a space constraint, mm-hmm. and you think there should be less words. And it's often about cutting out a number of words versus the sculpting aspect, which is actually allowing your message to come through within the space that you have.
Yes, so, it comes through with more force. It comes through more compelling. It comes through crisper, and you have more opportunity to make more points. And that's the whole essence. Now, people get intimidated when it comes to writing. You know, this stuff is easy to learn. It really is. But I explain to them, if you think in terms of writing like a game. And I love Mary Poppins, you know, with every job that must be done, there's an element of fun. You find the fun and snap, the job's a game. And I won't start singing, although I could very easily. But think in terms of writing as painting. The more detail you add, the more it comes into focus. It's like poker. Actually, someone challenged me, said it's like chess, either one, poker or chess, because if you know your audience, you know the audience's reaction, you know the reaction you are trying to elicit. If they have counter arguments, you know what the counter arguments are because you've done your homework. And so you counter their arguments. So it's intellectual. It's an intellectual game to be able to outbid or to get your policy approach approved or whatever. So it's poker. It's a scavenger hunt. When you get down to those word sculpting tools, and you look for the redundancies, the useless words, those hard-boiled eggs. It's a scavenger. Oh, I found another one. Ooh, I found two more. So it truly is fun if you approach it that way. And looking at it from that perspective, it's not nearly as intimidating.
Definitely. I mean, you're making it sound like a good time. So I appreciate that. I know you have a couple of things that are coming up, including a new course that you're launching. Can you tell us a little bit about how people could work with you?
Sure. My website is www.writetoinfluence.net, W-R-I-T-E-T-O influence.net. You can reach me by email at Carla, C-A-R-L-A, at writetoinfluence.net. And just holler. In addition to the workshops, I help people with resumes. I've gotten involved in very technically oriented reports that were going to Congress, but because the original drafts were so technical, they would have been dead on arrival. So I've helped upend, rewrite, refocus. Those were mammoth projects, but I can do that also. On my webpage, recognizing that people are having difficult times because of this blasted COVID, I created 3 free ebooks. So the first one is called Write to Win a Standout Resume, Write to Win a Performance Review, and Write to Win a Grant Submission. In each one of those, I've taken the word sculpting strategies and tools and laser focused them on those 3 particular products. I also generate a twice monthly e-newsletter. And these are, you're not going to be surprised, short and sweet and to the point. It's called Write to Influence Quick Tips. And I put a tremendous amount of effort in these because I value my readers' time. So if anybody out there is interested in receiving these, again, Carla@righttoinfluence.net, I'd be glad to share them with you.
Thanks, Carla. I will share all of that information in our show notes. And also, your book is available on
online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in many public libraries. And if I could ask your listeners a favor, if you happen to get the book and you like it and you have time, could you please write a little bit of a review in Amazon? Because unless you walk in an author's shoes, you have no idea how valuable those things are. Just a sentence or two review to me is a gold nugget, and I'm deeply appreciative for every one that I get.
Great. So everyone, if you buy or read Right to Influence, please drop Carla a review. Now, before we get out of here, there's two questions I always ask my guests. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, what are one or two songs that are on your power playlist and why?
I love that question. Okay. My number one favorite song, and I'm sure that nobody out there, unless you're 65 years or older, is going to know it. But Robert Goulet is one of my favorite vocalists. He sang in the 1960s. He was hugely popular. And of all of his songs, I love Ebb Tide, E-B-B Tide, Ebb Tide. And why? The music, the lyrics, and his performance, he does in that one song what Michelangelo does with paints, or what Diana Gabaldon or Daniel Silva does with words. It's the only song I've ever heard. It envisions a tide very slowly coming up on the shore and then ebbing back to the ocean. But it's a love song. And the thing becomes, it increases in rank, it increases in volume. And you can actually imagine these waves crashing against the rocks as the crescendo hits. And then it slowly and gently subsides again as the woman and the man are in each other's arms. Ebb Tide is just, it's brilliant. And his voice, it's amazing. So that's my favorite song of all songs.
It sounds like a beautiful song, and the ocean, the beach is my favorite place. So I definitely will check that song out. And then last question before we let you go, what is one book that has really influenced how you thrive in business?
You know, what I do and what I teach comes from within. So there is not a book that helped me learn how to write. I credit a seventh grade English teacher, Mrs. Gelwicks, and I had a chance when I was a major, I circled back and took a picture of me and explained that if it hadn't been for her instruction in the seventh grade, I wouldn't have fallen in love with grammar. I wouldn't have been able to do this. So all of my success, I attributed to her. And she had just had a stroke. She could understand, but she couldn't speak. And I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to complete that circle. But as far as books, again, Diana Gabaldon and Daniel Silver, they're both fiction, but those two authors work pure magic with writing. When I read something and I don't have much time to read, I admire authors who infuse so much in using so few words. One example from Daniel Silva, I'm going to mess up the quotation, but the doorbell rang with the insistency of an angry infant. I mean, that conveys so much in so few words. And that's how both of them write.
Sounds gorgeous. Are there any specific books you would recommend from either of them?
The Outlander series from Diana Gabaldon. I actually developed 5 pages single-spaced of vocabulary words from that. I enjoy being challenged with vocabulary. I don't like being written, you know, dummied down. I really resent that. And The Heist, Daniel Silva's The Heist, H-E-I-S-T. They're all good, but that one is particularly noteworthy.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Well, Carla, thank you. I have learned so much from our conversation today, and I know that the listeners will take these tips and go forward and become better writers. So thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Happiness is sharing.
I appreciate it. Well, have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing what else comes from that great mind of yours.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Women Thriving in Business podcast. If you like this episode, share it with a friend.
You can also join us on social media to share your feedback and comments. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to like, review, and subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode. Until next week, keep thriving.